We're going to move now to talk about how do we take these concepts and implement it into some meaningful action. And the step requires some planning. Bill Robertson comes to us from Adventist Health. He is the chief executive officer for a network of Adventist institutions. Washington Adventist Hospital is one of them. Shady Grove Adventist Hospital is another. And Bill, I'd like to welcome you here to talk to us about strategic planning. Bill Robertson.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a beautiful setting, a wonderful place to spend what I found already amazing time learning and sharing and being a part of what I think is indeed a historic time for our church and hopefully for faith communities as we become even more engaged in dealing with the issues that face our world on a global basis. The title of my talk is Winners Score Goals. I grew up in a nation, the United States, that didn't really do a lot of soccer when I was a kid. But soccer has become, or football, has become a massive cultural phenomenon in the United States. One of the things that was amazing to me as I started going to soccer games is that when there's all this action, but not a lot of scoring. But when a score happens, the crowd goes wild. It's very exciting. My wife grew up in South America. I had never seen her behave the way she did at the soccer match that I first went to. Well, scoring goals is a big deal. And the challenge that we have in what we've been talking about is how do we take these big ideas and make them real where we live and work and play in the communities we work in. And so there's three items on my agenda today to try to communicate. The first is that there are big goals, but there are challenges with these big goals. That there is progress is very difficult to achieve the goals that have been set out at all kinds of levels of government and church and community. That converting these goals to local results is actually a challenge of how we lead, how we work together, how we create the opportunity for success. And the third agenda item I have is to try to create a sense of how the model that I'm going to talk briefly about this morning has worked in a community that I know very, very well, the Tacoma Park community in near Washington Adventist Hospital. And one of my favorite authors is Peter Drucker. He seems to have brought incredible wisdom to the study of management, seeking to make management a science. One of the things he said that I have actually under the glass on my desk is that good intentions are no substitute for organization and leadership, for accountability, performance, and results. So what I want to try to move us to is thinking about how we get results in this global challenge of health. Now, there are a lot of goals. So the first set of goals that I just talked about is the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. There's actually eight of them. I only have seven up, combining maternal, child, and health improvement. Now, within each one of these goals, there are actually specific targets. So there's not just eight. There's eight times two or three for each one. And under each one of these targets, there is some level of measurement. But the challenge with global goals is they're broad and they're all-encompassing. And quite frankly, you can do almost anything in these and say you are working in response to the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. The goals for this time period are supposed to be achieved by 2015. By 2015, we are going to have eliminated significant poverty and hunger across the globe. The truth is, their midterm report in 2008 says it's not going to happen. In fact, if you look at every single one of the 8 goals, none of them, according to the 2008 report, are going to happen by the end of 2015. That's a challenge. In fact, in some of the measurements, we've been sliding back. Of course, in the United States, the nation that I know best, we have the U.S. healthy people. And 2010, so we're 1 year away from accomplishing the goals in the U.S. Healthy People 2010. You know, the challenge with these is they have undifferentiated objectives. If you look at these, we have only 2 goals: increase quality and years of healthy life, and eliminate health disparities. But those become 28 focus areas. Now, I know the women in this room can focus on more than a few things, but for the men in this room, we can focus on 1 or 2. And we have 28 focus areas with 467 objectives. Now, this is just in 10 years we're going to get this done. Well, we only have 1 year left. Now, there's some interesting challenges with these and some questions that that come up as I study these. Who's accountable for the implementation of these goals? And we have a saying in my organization: when everyone's accountable, no one's accountable. And these goals do not say who's accountable. How do we evaluate success? How do we prioritize and deploy limited resources? And there are limited resources. And how do we prioritize the objectives? One question I have is, are all the objectives created equal? Because some of the objectives that are listed in the 467 are clearly, in at least my perspective, superordinate to some of the others. And yet they're all listed in a list of 467 goals. So there's major challenges that limit the performance on goals. In the United States, the midterm assessment says that 40% of the metrics showed no improvement or it actually deteriorated since the goals were announced. So what are the challenges? Well, there's 4 that I have identified. There's limited resources, there's lack of coordination, there's duplication of effort, and there's competing interests. In the communities where I serve, it's very interesting how politicized some of the goals become. We have a Latin health initiative, we have an Asian health initiative, we have the African Health Initiative. We have an African American Health Initiative. They're all silos. They don't talk. They compete for resources. They have budgets that they are striving to receive, and they compete on those budgets. Huge challenges towards making progress on these goals. I'd suggest that the challenge that we have is that we have opportunity for leadership. Leadership of focus and of creating connected, smart goals. Let me talk about those for just a second. When I talk about SMART, it's a great acronym, but it actually represents 5 different ways of looking at a goal. It needs to be specific. No question about what we're trying to accomplish. It needs to be measurable. It needs to be achievable. It needs to be relevant. And it needs to be time-specific. Not something that has no end point, something that can get done. And it needs to be focused. Focus is an interesting thing. When you limit the scope of what you're going to do, it allows you to target your efforts and your activities towards a measurable outcome. And so they need to be focused, and they need to be connected. These goals should not be without context. And the global goals, I believe, create a wonderful context to create linked goals at a local community. So one of the things that I believe leadership does is it creates a line of sight. Leadership helps us say, here's a global goal, here is local action. There's a bumper sticker that I see occasionally in the community that I serve that says, think global, act local. And that's what leadership helps us think about. Think global. Know what the global goals are. Create action that happens on a local level. Global goals tend to be vast. They don't cascade down. They don't seem to be sometimes relevant. They seem disconnected from what maybe we're experiencing. And sometimes the problem is just too big. And maybe I don't have the power or the agency. Maybe I have the agency to be able to act. But if I'm working locally, what I need to do is make sure that the action is not disjointed from the larger goals. And I need to be working to build a community around those goals towards a common vision, to focus on small areas of opportunity, and then to maximize the impact of the local efforts that go forward. One of the things that's interesting with converting global goals to local results is that there is actually a progression of things you can do to make this happen. So you start with the global goals. That's the context. It's the framework of what we're working for. Then we look to engage the community, to create a community of people who see those goals as relevant and as important. Then to set some benchmarks, to look at what those goals needs are at a local level, not at a national or international level, but in Tacoma Park, where I work, or in Maryland, where I work, or the Eastern Seaboard, and then to create a local, engaged community strategy around that, and to create local action, to embrace a wider variety of local resources, all focused on this one issue. And of course, the foundation of all of this is we have to measure it and monitor it. We have to look at what the impact we're having. And if the plan isn't working, we need to adjust it. When you work a plan without regard to its impact, you end up solving something that probably didn't need to be solved. So a case study to take this idea of how you can take global to local and apply it to something that is ongoing in the communities where I serve. Now, to give you a brief sense of those communities, Washington Adventist Hospital and Adventist Healthcare serve in one of the most diverse regions of the United States. We have no majority population in the communities we serve. The Caucasian community is just in the high 40%. There's about 25% of the population is African or African American. About 20% is Latino, and the balance comes from everywhere else. We have 150 languages spoken in the community where I serve, in the Washington, D.C. area. 150 languages. And the hospital, Washington Adventist Hospital, where this program was built around, has 78 languages spoken by the staff. You talk about a significant, interesting challenge. I will tell you that our community has much better food now that we have the diversity that we get to experience. So what do? We identified 3 or 4 years ago that health disparities were something that were a significant part of the challenges that we had in our community. And so we set out to focus on the elimination of health disparities. So when you think about that's a big challenge for us. We set out to create a center on health disparities that was to reduce and eliminate disparities in health status and healthcare access, treatment, quality, and outcomes to the communities that we serve in Adventist Healthcare. And we targeted, we were very specific, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, and Frederick County. There's about 2.3 million people in those three communities. We began with our vision to expand access to care. We created a blue ribbon panel, which I'll talk about here in just a second, and then we founded the Center on Health Disparities. Now I'm going to step through that chart that I had that was kind of an arrow that showed the different actions that we took. The first thing that we did was we said, what's the global goal? Well, the Healthy People 2010, one of the global goals is to eliminate health disparities. And our rationale was this: is if we don't know where we're going, How will we know when we get there? And our approach was to combine clinical research, clinical care, research, and health careers training for historically underserved communities and populations within our service area. We made SMART goals. They were tactical plans driving action locally. We focused them around improving health of our patients, and we connected them to the broader goals of the organization, of the region. Now, one of the challenges is that there are competing demands for attention and money relative to this initiative. The next thing we did was we looked at engaging the community to chart a course for the Center on Health Disparities. Nothing happens by itself. And the board of Adventist Healthcare and Washington Adventist Hospital made the Center on Health Disparities a part of its strategic vision. We formed a blue ribbon panel of community leaders. We actually engaged 24 individuals from across the communities we serve, from business. We engaged people from public health, from government, from research organizations. And we said, we know we need to do something in this space, but we don't know what we need to do. It was one of the most terrifying things to turn this group loose and say, help us figure out what we need to do. I was very fearful that they'd come back with something that we could not do, and then we would be challenged for having failed to accomplish it. They were brilliant in what they did. They created a wonderful roadmap that we are now working on. We partnered to create this roadmap, and then we hired a leader. Now, the challenge was to have too big of a set of goals. It's always a challenge to do more, and so we had to broaden our focus, but I think we've resisted that challenge. The next thing we did was to say, how do we measure where we are? We need to know where we are. If you don't know where you are, where do you go? And the first thing we did was we put together, for the first time in the state of Maryland, a comprehensive local Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Frederick County health status report across the region. It was a very interesting set of data. Just give you one piece of data. In our community, in the Caucasian, Latino, and Asian community, infant mortality rate is about 4%. It's little better than national average in the United States. But in the African American community, it's 14%. Huge difference. We're still trying to figure out what that is about. But we're focusing on that. In fact, you'll see here in just a minute that that is one of our areas of focus. One of our challenges with the data, though, is that it's 5 to 10 years. It lags. It's very hard to get data. And so that's one of the focuses that we have as well. Then we needed to create a local strategy to catalyze community efforts. And the challenge was to do several things well, but not too many, and then to do several more. So we said we're going to increase access to underserved groups through clinics and partnerships with existing community organizations. We're going to change the way that our own staff provide care, to have them seeing that cultural competence is a significant piece of the care they provide, and that we were going to conduct ongoing research to identify best practices that could be transferable to other communities and to other parts of our community to track our progress. Of course, one of the interesting challenges that we have all kinds of organizations that work with overlapping issues. And so to do this, we continue to have interesting challenges in that regard. The last item that we... HE's efforts to reduce disparities. So what did we do? We had ideas, but now how do we make those ideas work? Well, on maternal services, we were able to increase services for underserved populations. We created a maternal child center and a maternity partnership program and with a local health organization. And we went from taking a very small percentage of the community's uninsured to taking care of 50% of the community's uninsured OB patients in a 2-year period. We started a research project. We have two research projects now, one on collection of race, ethnicity, and language data, and another one on asthma that we are looking to see best treatment protocols. And we have started training rigorously a whole set of staff in culturally competent care and bilingual interpretation, because it's actually a skill you learn to interpret for someone who's a patient, to make sure that we provide the best care. And of course, the challenge for us is, this is in addition to all the jobs that all of our clinical staff have already. So we compete for their time and their attention. And of course, we have to always be measuring where we're going. You can't manage what you can't measure. And so we have an annual progress report. We update our local data every year. We have a three-year report coming out this October. We have highlighted our community efforts, not just ours, but others in the organization, because we seek to collaborate. And we've been measuring our efforts to reduce disparities. We have the ongoing Blue Ribbon panel participation with the Center on Health Disparities that helps us revisit and rethink our strategic agenda. And we hold an annual conference that brings together community groups around collaboration and learning. This last year, we had 250 attendees with people as far away as Canada, and this is just the second year of our health disparities conference. But one of the challenges we face is that, how do you measure culturally competent care? We're still looking for a metric that allows us to look at that. So, there is an interesting challenge. When you have some success, it begets success, which means you have more goals, more communities, more results, more challenges. And so we're entering our third year in the Center on Health Disparities. We have some additional goals that we've added. We've expanded cultural competence in other parts of our organization. We're seeking to have now faculty appointments into our Center on Health Disparities. We have added increasing number of minority providers to our list of goals. We've actually had new communities that have asked for us to provide assistance to them. Our organization now seen as the leader in Maryland for this. We have two large health systems that we're providing consulting to for helping them with culturally competent care, and first responders, the emergency management personnel that we're working with. And we are now working to collect, in the midst of a report that will come out from the Brookings Institute in October, a report on how to collect diversity data effectively so you can compare your results across the various components of the community we serve. But we always have the challenge of funding and staff. So, in the end, winners score goals, but the game goes on. Thank you.